1 John 2, verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Love not the world. This morning I'm going to look a little bit at, I guess the title of it, what I have right now is Distractions of Today, specifically technology. Technology is something that we have. We all have it, and I bring it up here with me, and I'm using it, and yet I'm going to point out some things about it that I think we need to be aware of. Since the beginning of time, the devil has been using or trying through different methods to distract us, to pull us away from God. From the Garden of Eden, he tempted the woman with the fruit that they were forbidden to eat. So from the beginning of time, the temptations are there, the temptations to draw us away from God. And throughout time, he has continued to devise new plans, new methods, other ways to continue to reach us and to draw us away from Christ. All of those things, I believe, fall into three categories. And if we look at 1 John 2, and read verse 16 through 17. So we just read verse 15. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So we're going to go down through there. We're going to break down different parts of that. And at the end, we would like to highlight specifically on verse 17. We might not come back and read verse 17, but we will talk about parts of it. "He that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So if we look at the lust of the flesh, what does that mean? What is the lust of the flesh? These three categories, you can break them apart, and yet they're very much intertwined with each other. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, they very much intermingle. The pride of life, all of that can be tied in. We often think of the lust of the flesh being more of a sexual nature, and I would like to say that it's not totally that. There can be a lot of different angles, different aspects of it where we can lust after it. It's the flesh, when we talk about the flesh, it's things that we desire. Now, it can be things, food, can be shelter, can be comfort, and it can be of a sexual nature. But having said that, none of that's wrong. We need food. We need to live off of food. If we don't have food, we're going to die. Shelter, we need shelter, we need comforts, and God has given us sexual desires. So none of that is wrong, but what makes it wrong? Let's take food, for example. That can become very wrong very fast when we overeat because we like food, we see food and we like food and then we desire it and we pursue after it and keep eating more and more and more, and we don't need it anymore, but it becomes something that we just want to eat. That becomes a lust because we begin to pursue it. We want it, we desire it, we crave it, and so we chase after it and feed ourselves a lot of it. To have the desire to eat is not wrong. To have the desire to eat good food is not wrong. So if you like to cook and you like to make good food, that's fine. But there is a boundary to that. When it becomes our drive, when it becomes everything we live or breathe, we crave it, it becomes a lust. And shelter can be the same thing. We have houses that we live in. We have shelters. We have comforts that we go with it. We can, very quickly, that can become a lust when we begin to, and this will tie in a little bit with the next one, lust of the eyes, but when you begin to look at things, you see bigger, in our society today, we see a lot of people that are never satisfied with what they have. They're constantly pursuing better dwellings. They're building bigger houses, And in some instances, competing with each other to have better. And so when those things, the comforts of life, become our what we pursue after, that's what we live for, that becomes a lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes is, like I said, ties in very closely with the lust of the flesh, but it is what you see with your two eyes. You see things and you desire it. Now, that doesn't mean that everything you see and you want becomes a lust. Again, it's tied in with the thing of seeing it, desiring it, and you shouldn't have it. You can become covetous. You see something somebody else have, and now you covet it. You wish you could have it because he can have it. You know, maybe because of my job or my wage, I'm limited to a certain point. And you look out around you and you see other people and you say, man, they must be making a lot more money than I am. I need that. And you begin to pursue and you drive and you try to live a lifestyle so that you can achieve to another. You can buy more things so that you can look as good as, you can drive nicer vehicles, you can have a nicer house. Whatever it is, we become jealous, we become covetous. And it can be a sexual lust to look on and to crave after or to desire. And you can't have it, or you shouldn't have it, because it goes against the will of God. The pride of life, the Greek word for that actually means vaunting, which means to boast, to show, or arrogant display. I think that pretty much explains itself in a lot of ways. You know, for stuff like, when we talk about lust of the eyes, there were always, and still is, you know, it used to be as simple as, I don't know if I should say it's as simple as, but in some instances it is, that we could just avoid certain places to stay away from some of these things. Things that you just didn't buy, places you didn't go, because all it was a temptation to you. And so we just steered away from that. But now guess what? We have it right here. We can put it in our pockets. We can go places. And we can, it becomes a tool that we say. While I am talking about technology, I'm don't want to come across that I'm absolutely against it, because technology can be useful, and I believe, and we have chosen to use it, can be very, very, very useful, but it's also very, very dangerous at the same time. And I think we do well to stop and to look at it and to consider it, not to believe that we can control it, because very, very quickly it will control us. Now Christ gives us the power where we have the power to be able to use it as a tool and not to let it become a distraction to us. You know, some of the benefits that we have with having it is it does make communication easier in some instances. If we need to call someone, we no longer have to go to see that person. We can actually just call them up and we can discuss plans. And that makes it a whole lot easier with things like that. You can access anything you need off of it. You can pick it up. We can go onto Amazon. You can order clothing. You can order whatever, basically anything that you want, and it gets delivered to your doorstep. You don't even have to go shopping anymore, which to some people is a great thing. Some people prefer to go shopping. I would rather stay at home. But it gives us easy access. When we want information, we go to Google, and there's multiple search engines that we can use, and you can look up information anytime you want. You can get whatever information you want. That can be a good thing. That can be a very bad thing, too, because you can always look up anything you want off of it, and it's in your hand. Only you see it. When it's on this thing, only you see what you just looked up. it's not something, it's not quite like it used to be when all you had was desktop computers where it was sitting there, what you looked up, if somebody was in a room, they could see it too with you. This is now in your hand. You can take it wherever you want. You can take it to your room. You can be by yourself with it at all times. Yeah, we could go on and on, and we could list different things that we can use it for. And I won't disagree. It can be a useful thing, but it can also be used for a tremendous amount of evil. One of the things that you see a lot of is you see a lot of fear, a lot of negativity, a lot of hatred. I don't know as I can near list all of it, what all it can promote. It makes it easy for us to follow the news, to read articles on the news, and I'm sorry, but so much of that tends to just portray the negative side of things, whether it's actually 100% reality, most of it isn't. Or I should say it is true, but maybe part of the truth, not all truth. And so when we tend to read those things and we have it here and we have easy access, we can look at the news and you start reading things and you get all discouraged because there's so much fear, there's so much negativity, there's so much that you can, and you just begin to, fear things, and that kind of fear is not of God at all. Negativity is not of God. Hatred is not of God. And yet these things have the ability to influence us to think like that, because that is what we read, that is what we see all the time. These devices are geared or designed to fill your needs, or to meet your desires, to meet your needs. And maybe we'll get into that a little bit more as we go through. The problem with these, or one of the problems with these devices, is they have the ability to, they have a tendency to actually have a very good ability of making you addicted to them because of the amount of information, the ease of access, and you become addicted to them. There's a notification comes, a text message comes to you, you pick up your phone right away, you read it. Meanwhile, you may have been in a conversation with somebody. There's a lot of distractions, a lot of things, and yet after a while we begin to feel, if we're not careful, we begin to feel that we have to have this thing. It becomes an addiction to us, and every spare moment we have, we pull it up, we open Facebook, and we go down through, look at everything, or we go to WhatsApp, look at all the statuses, we go to Instagram. There's so many different places, different platforms, and I'm not going to even try to cover all the different platforms because there are so many social media platforms out there. Some of them can be used for good. Some of them, I don't know. Anyways, I'm not intending to give you answers. I'm not intending to tell you that certain things are just absolutely wrong. I'm intending to make you think, and you choose for yourself what you want. If we think about the pros and the cons of them, some of the stuff very quickly we decide just isn't worth our time because of how much danger is with them. I said the technology, especially when we talk about smartphone, that is, it is designed to become addictive to you. The problem with it, when it becomes addictive to you, and talking more specifically to parents, when parents become addicted to it, your children will naturally pick up your addictions. What is important to you becomes important to your children. And so if you become addicted to your technology, very quickly your children become addicted to it as well. So we as parents actually have a great responsibility to be sure that it doesn't control us, it doesn't dictate our lives. Now, if we go talk about, we already talked a little bit about the different social media platforms. We have Facebook, Instagram, X, which was used to be called Twitter, Snapchat, WhatsApp, BeReal. There are so many other. I could just go on and list and list and list and list, but you do that yourself. Look up the different. Actually, you don't need to look up the different platforms, but any kind of platform that you use to associate or to communicate with friends or people falls into that category. And the platforms keep growing. There's more and more coming out every day. I mean, all the time. There's just no end to it. The idea behind some of these platforms, or that's what they say, the idea behind them is to create or to broaden your horizons. You can relate to other people anywhere in the world. You aren't limited to the people that you can come in contact with in one day. Now you have a broader range of people that you can communicate with, that you can be friends with, you can keep up with. All of these platforms, you can put information, you can say things, you can post comments, you can post pictures, you can post videos, you can post, you name it, whatever you want, basically, on them. Unfortunately, even with all of these media platforms or the social media, there is actually a growing, instead of a decrease in loneliness and isolation, there's actually an increase of it. So it's not fixing the problem. It's creating a bigger problem. And I think we need to look at that very seriously. If isolation is growing, if loneliness is growing, some of the time it's because of the people connecting with their friends across the sea. They can't see them, but they're so busy with that. There's so much that they can do that they don't even have time to connect with the people they're sitting right beside. They don't have time to connect with their friends that they work with, the people they work with, the people they go to church with, you name it. There's so much that can distract us from that. These platforms can be, I'm not saying they're always used, but they can be used to promote self. And you see that a lot. A lot of people that use these platforms, some of their drive is how many followers they can get and pursue that. And so what is that actually? If you're pursuing followers, if you're looking for followers, what are you doing? You're promoting self. It's pride. Exactly what we talked about in 1 John 2 verse 16, when we talk about the pride of life, promoting self. You can use it for like a self-pity platform. I mean, yeah, I won't go too far into that, but I've seen a lot of that where people use it as a platform to pity me, please. I'm looking for help. I need something. Sometimes you can connect with people. So I won't say it never works, but it can. It can work, but it's also not a great place. The other one is a judgmental platform. And sometimes when people become disgruntled with a church or people or things, these platforms are used to bring judgment on or to disrespect, or however you want to say it, to run down people or churches because of what happened to them. And I'm going to, if you look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1 through 11, and I'm not going to read the entire thing, and I'm possibly taking it just slightly out of context, and you feel free to correct me if I'm using it completely wrong, but in that, Paul was addressing brothers taking brothers to court. And he was saying, you know, among you as believers, why can't you resolve that? Isn't there someone in a brotherhood that can judge? And here you're taking this before unbelievers to have it judged. Now, whether Paul was talking, what I don't know, and I would like some input on it, was Paul talking about, so when he said you're taking it before unbelievers, is he talking about the testimony that left of people of God who should know how to get along not being able to get along and taking it to unbelievers? Is he talking about that, the testimony that was being left? Or just that it took an unbeliever to settle something that through God's word, through his teachings, gives us everything we need to have been able to resolve that? I'm open. You can tell me. But I would like to, I think, if we think about that principle, or if we think about that a little bit, and you think about how we go on to some of these, sometimes you see on Facebook or Instagram, people just ranting out about how a church treated them and stuff like that. What does that look like to the people around us when we're doing that? Yeah, I'm not going to go too far into that, but just think about that. That we don't, that these platforms don't become a place where we hash out or air out our issues with other people, instead of, as in Matthew 18, 15 through 17, says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take thee one or two more, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and as a publican." That is the way we resolve our issues. We don't need to air it out on social media platforms. When, if in all reality, most people that know Christians or know of believers that, whether they're a believer or not, they know that we should be able to resolve our issues. They understand that principle. And they would be shocked if we, to understand or to see that we can't sometimes. Anyways, I'll leave it at that. We could say a whole lot more about it. But these platforms, these social media platforms, are meant to be able to connect with each other and to be able to see in each other's lives. Sure. To be able to get a glimpse in their day-to-day life into the things that they're doing. And if you think about, let's just take it away from actual day-to-day dealings. If I take an item and I want to post it on Facebook Marketplace, I take pictures of it very, very quickly and put fairly nice pictures on it and post it, advertise it. People come and look at the ad and they're like, "Well, that looks good." And you scroll through the pictures, looks pretty good. They show up and look at it and they go, "Well, but I didn't see that. I didn't see that. I didn't see that." You know, your pictures make it look better than it actually is. And so when we go and post things and different ones of these apps, and I think of the one Be Real, and I don't know how many people have that. I think some people have had, whether people still have it. I'm not talking against that, but think about it. For instance, the idea behind the app Be Real was exactly that, to show you get a notification once a day. You have a 2-minute window in which you are supposed to take a picture of yourself, front and back camera. Inside that 2-minute window, you have to take that picture to show the surroundings of you and you, to get so that people can get a real glimpse of you. Are you actually real? Is that actually going to capture you? And I guess what I'm trying to say is, how many of us would, in that, when we get that notification, we may be in the middle of something that just is absolutely wearing us down. We may be in a foul mood because of it, you name it. And then also we get this notification, Be Real. Am I gonna really post this? You know, I'm not feeling good. I'm in a messy situation. It isn't hard to just quick put a smile on your face and completely change the looks of it. Any of the platforms that we post info on, by default, is only going to give a glimpse of what is actually happening. So we don't know the actual situation or exactly what mood they were in. It's just a picture. It doesn't tell you whether they were upset, doesn't tell you whether they, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, but does it really give an actual picture of it? Or is it just a glimpse that becomes a false reality? And if it becomes a false reality, it's actually untruth because it's not an accurate picture. And we are taught in Scripture to be truthful, and we'll get into that a little bit farther. But posting things about us in our daily lives isn't accurate. I'm not saying you can't post pictures of things that you saw if you went on a trip, and you know there's things that you can post. But if you're actually trying to learn to know people, learning to know them off of any of these platforms is not accurate. You only get a small glimpse of who they are. It becomes a false reality. You only see the good side of these people. We often talk about we use these platforms, and we use text messages, we use WhatsApp, we use, there's so many other apps that you can use to message people. Problem with these things, we use them because, well, we can really speed up communication with them, but there's also a massive danger with communications through these devices, because when you communicate with people, you get more from reading their facial expressions, the tone of voice, and body language. You get more out of that than you do out of the actual words that they said. The words convey the message, but don't convey the attitude, the feelings behind it. And so that's what happens when we rely on these devices to communicate everything. We end up breaking down communications instead of helping communications by constantly using these platforms to try to encourage people, to try to correct people. They should only be used when that comes. They should only be used to actually communicate plans. You can put an event on there. You can say, hey, we're going to meet up at this and this place at, whatever time it is, there's things like that it can be used very, very, very well for. But even something like picking up the phone and calling someone still does not convey the full message. You can better hear it because you hear the words, you hear the tone of voice, but you still don't see the facial expression, you still don't see the body language. And when you're talking with someone and you're watching their facial expressions, you may begin to talk to them, and then you see their response to it, and maybe then you change how you approach them because of the response. So you read the body language a lot to try to, because that helps in your communication with it. Okay, one more aspect of it that I would really like to touch on more is the amount of stuff that you find on it. Especially when we had been talking already about these platforms. The three things that all of the distractions or all of Satan's tactics fall under is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are of the world. We have, like I had said before, there was easy, before there would have been places that you just avoided. You didn't go into a tavern, you didn't go to certain parts of the beach, you didn't go to, there was just things that you didn't do. You didn't go into certain stores because of the stuff that they sold there. You just avoided it if you could, because there wasn't really any need of going there. But now the problem is we have it here, and you pull up any of these apps, and I think of YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and I'm not going to list all of them, but when you open them up, these apps are geared to feed you the information that you look for. So as you maybe you search something, now Facebook always pops up ads geared towards that. You can change them, change what you want to look at. But when you take a time and you go through it, and all of a sudden you come across a video and you pause and you watch it, you're going to get more of those videos. And so the longer you spend on each of those, the more you're going to see that one. If you just breeze past it, and every time that type of video comes up and you breeze past it, you probably see less of it. But if you pause and look at it for a little bit, it feeds you more. And if you look again, it feeds you more. If you look again, it feeds you more. And the more you look at it, the more it feeds you. But not just that, in between them, all of a sudden you get a random video you would not want to watch. You know, whether it is poorly clothed women, men, anything, all of that is portraying, all of that is geared toward exactly what we read there, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. You get ads of food, you see different housing, places where they live, you know, and believe it or not, all of that is geared to grab your attention and shift it. So even if you're looking at food, maybe food isn't one of the things that you pursue after, but you like good food and you see something, an ad for food that it looks fascinating and you stop and you look at it and it's going to keep feeding you more ads for food. And you begin, it can shift your mentality or it can shift you and you begin to pursue after that and it becomes a lust. It can be of a sexual nature. You can see different things. And if you stop and you look at it, and the disadvantage of this is I see it, but nobody else does. We talk about, if we go back to, let me find the verse here. Matthew 5, verse 28. Says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committeth adultery with her already in his heart. So when you're in a group of people, and this isn't, it says if a man looketh, or that whosoever looketh on a woman, it's not just limited to men, but if you look in a situation, like with people around, you are a lot more cautious how you look at people. It has a tendency to make you do that. You are more cautious because somebody may see me and somebody may come talk to me. The problem with this is you can still see all that. You can stop, you can look, and you can lust and nobody else sees it. It's dangerous. That doesn't, just because it is digital, does not soften what Matthew 5:28 says. It is still the exact same thing. Whether it's a digital, whether it's in person, or what it still is wrong. It still is adultery. Regardless, it's right here. Nobody else sees what I'm looking at. You know, we are by nature, we desire information. Nature teaches you that. Your little children, they get to the age where they can begin to talk and they begin to ask questions and you answer them and they ask another question. You answer them and they ask another question. You know, they're geared. They want information. They want to learn. They need to learn. That doesn't change in our life. We're constantly looking for information. We're constantly learning things. Whether you look for it or not, you're going to get fed it through these devices. You get fed information. So because of these, and I'm going to just talk a little bit more about it and then we'll move on and talk about the other side of it. These devices, while they have become such an integral or such an, if we say important, that they are a tool that we use all the time, they also have depleted the ability to remember things, to be able to think through things, because I don't have to think, I don't have to look. I can just pull it up, Google it, read it, and walk away from it. I'm not gonna remember it. Now, some people might, but I don't. If I read it the first one time, I don't remember it. We have become so dependent and so quick to do exactly that we look up information, we read it, we know what we wanna know, but walk away from it 3 days later, maybe you don't remember what you just looked up and what the information was. So we have we make it harder on ourselves to be able to memorize, to remember things. You need to pay attention to things. And so just think, for example, you want to memorize scripture verses. Most of us, there might be a few people that can read it once and remember it. Most of us need to focus on it. We need to put attention on it. And our devices, our technology has made us, has reduced our attention span from, well, I forget the exact numbers, and it's been years since they did, since this was done, but it had reduced it from, in the span of about 4 years, it had reduced it from, I think it was an attention span of 8 or 10 seconds, I'm not 100% sure on that, down to like 3 seconds. That doesn't, your attention, so your attention span has been reduced so much that we can't focus on things for a certain amount of time. We get, you know, and then we get sidetracked, the phone goes and we pick it up and we look at it. And so you need to be able to remember things, we need to be able to pay attention to things. We need to be able to focus on things. And our technology has not helped us with that in the least little bit. It can be used as a tool to remind us of some things. Memory can be bad. It can remind you. You can use it, but I think we need to be careful with how we use it. You know, I said that by nature, we want information. We want to learn, or we want to find out things. And if we go to Matthew 5 or 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So God provided us with a method to fill us up. If we hunger, if we thirst, God will fill us. And he has done that through his word. He does that through teaching, through people teaching, through us reading, through us studying. God will fill us. So it is a good thing to desire information. It's a good thing to seek information. It's just important that we choose where we find our information, what we use to fill ourselves. Because if you don't take the time to fill yourself with God's word, with the knowledge of his word, with learning about God, whether it is through nature, through reading his word, or whatever it may be, if we don't fill ourselves with that, this will. Because your mind is not built to not pick up information. So if you're not filling it with God and with God's people speaking into your lives, reading God's word, going out into nature and learning about God through nature, this will fill your mind. These things are geared to just cram information at you. And it can cram information at you so fast and so hard that you just cannot, if you spend too much time on that, you don't even have time, or you don't have the capacity to be able to pick up scripture and read it and get anything out of it. Because it can just overload your mind to where your mind isn't capable of taking more. And that's one of the big, big dangers of that, is we don't have time. We can't fill ourselves with God's word because our brain just can't handle it anymore. Romans 12:2, maybe a little bit of a shift here, but it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so if we think about conform, that means to be, or to fashion after, or to be like. It's not that hard to fashion ourselves after the world. And this is geared to do that. The information you see all the fashions, you see the fads, you see the information. It's geared to make you conform to the world. And it isn't hard to do. But then you take the second part of it and says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so you have to, but to the renewing means to be changed into, not just for, or not to just be fashioned after, or to look like, but it's just completely change you, change your mind. Leave the technology aside. Scripture is what will teach us how to live. Scripture will change our mind. What God teaches what is taught in Scripture, what is taught in the New Testament, by living that and studying that and having a knowledge of that, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that will change, that will transform our minds. Whereas the technology will take us away from that, has a tendency to take us away from it. It doesn't need to, but it definitely has a tendency to do that. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. If truth, honesty, just, pure, lovely, good report. Any of those things, and we could study into that, and we could really break it down, what all that implies on truth, worthy of credit. You know, we can pick up this, and we can look at the news and read things. Is it truth? Is it actually? And yet, because of what we read, we have a tendency to just believe it, because that's what we read, and we believe it as truth. And with that comes, you name it, you can pull fear, we have a tendency because of that to not, because of these devices, we have a tendency to read things, to believe it, but not to verify facts. And that is what Scripture teaches us. And when we talk about the Bereans, that they search the Scripture to prove that it was so. If it's truth, think on it. If it's honest, which is free of deceit and untruthfulness, think on them. If it's just, and if you think of just, it's like just in the eyes of God, it's innocent, it's holy, it's right. If it's pure, clean, innocent, modest, perfect, lovely, can be pleasing, acceptable, grateful, good report, to be well spoken of, to be well reported of. If there is any virtue, which means excellence or goodness, uprightness, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And people, we will find that in the Scripture. All of that is in the Scripture. We can find so much other information elsewhere, but we find it through the Scripture. And I'm not saying that you can't have other people teach you through YouTube and different places like that. You can. But what then? Do we then come back to Scripture? Can we think on our own enough to then be able to pull up Scripture, open it, verify what was taught to us, prove it, what was taught to us? Ephesians 5, and we'll read verse 15 through 20, says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not wise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. We have a choice before us, people. We have a choice. We have the ability to find a lot of information, but as we read in Ephesians 5:15, walk as the wise, redeeming the time. The devil wants access to us, but praise the Lord, he doesn't have access to us, or we can choose to not give him access to us.